XO Takeover.
Hey guys, welcome back to a brand new episode of XO Takeover, and today I'm joined with the one, the only, After FM. Welcome to the show, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling great, man, thanks for having me.
It's great to have you a part of it. Like I said before the show, I'm a huge fan of the work you've done and the work that you continue to do, extending the weekend songs and making like newer versions of it, especially about making the older sound so new.
Yeah, thank you. I'm really glad that you like them, you know. Definitely, I'm always trying to sort of reimagine every track that I do. I want to give listeners sort of like a new experience every time they listen to one of my tracks.
Is there a particular track that you've worked on that you love the most?
As of recent, it's got to be probably my new remix of Starry Eyes, the cinematic version. I'm just really a huge fan of both of the samples that I used, and I wanted to integrate them into a weekend track, and I feel like I executed that very well, you know? So definitely, that's got to be my favorite right now, I think.
Is that the one that you'd recommend to new listeners to go straight to listen to, or is there another one that you'd say, you know what, this one's my favorite, but this one is what I would say listen to first?
I would say definitely listen to probably the Sacrifice remix that I did recently with a couple other weekend remixers as well. I think that one definitely showcases sort of my style a lot more. And even though Starry Eyes is my favorite, I'd say if you haven't listened to my stuff before and you want to get into it, definitely start with Sacrifice cinematic version. And maybe even Is There Someone Else cinematic version. Those two, I'd say, are definitely like good starting points for getting into my stuff.
Is there a person that you've worked with that you've loved working with and you'd love to work with again in terms of like remixing the tracks?
Oh yeah, wow, that's kind of a tough question, because I mean, I really enjoy working with everybody who I collaborate with. But I think definitely my favorites who I've worked with in the past, or at least who I would like to work with again soon, would be Davoon FM, and he does a lot of the like studio recreations of like tour tracks and whatnot. So I really like working with him. And then trying to think. I always love working with Quality Motion Music. He's sort of the guy who's always doing those extended mixes on YouTube and whatnot, and always just putting out great content every single time, amazing visuals, and I've loved the work that he's done for my projects and whatnot, doing the visuals there and whatnot. And he always helps out a lot with gathering like stems and instrumentals and whatnot, whatever we need for the remixes and whatnot. So I really enjoy working with him as well.
Awesome. And before we get into the questions about the weekend, what is next for After FM? Are we going to start hearing the Hurry Up Tomorrow tracks? Are you going to go back to some other stuff you might not have done, or even like redo some stuff?
So I've got several plans, I think. I'm not sure which of them I'm going to stick with. Right now, the goal is to finish up remixing Dawn FM. Still got a handful of tracks that I'm doing there. Actually, I was working on a couple of them this morning, but I think next, I'm probably going to be doing a lot of, yeah, Hurry Up Tomorrow stuff. I'm really liking a lot of the tracks that Abel has teased recently, and I do want to work with a few of those. But I've even had ideas to do, like, Kissland mixes and maybe some old trilogy stuff, who knows. But I think right now what's next is probably going to be more Dawn FM stuff.
Fair enough. I look forward to hearing it, and I'm looking forward to hearing what's to come from you and your channel. But let's kick it off into questions about the weekend. You know, as XO Takeover, we've got to obviously talk about the weekend. And then at the end, in traditional XO Takeover style, we'll ask you 5 questions. But I want to start off right now with this project right here, Beauty Behind the Madness, and your thoughts on it.
Oh, man. That's, you know, it's probably an unpopular opinion, but I think that that's probably, like, Abel's best project, at least in my opinion. That's got to be like my favorite album from him.
Really?
Yeah, man.
I'd say that I know that a lot of people say like Blinding Lights is the Weeknd's song, most popular song. Honestly, I'd say The Hills is
oh, yeah,
more popular
absolutely
than Blinding Lights.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, that was, I remember when that came out, and that was just like everywhere. And everybody was trying to do that same style. I remember when that came out. It was awesome, man.
Is there a particular track on it that you love the most, or any that you hate?
Yeah, this is actually, that's a tough question because I love like every song on that project. I think I definitely really like yeah, I've actually got the vinyl with me, so I gotta see
I'm
what is
trying to
on
show
there,
the
but I
track
think
list off, but I don't think you'll be able to see it.
no, probably not. I don't have my camera set up, but I think, oh man, it really is a difficult choice. I love The Hills. I mean, like I said, it's a classic, but I am a fan of Angel. Angel's really good.
Angel's an
Shameless.
amazing song,
Actually,
honestly.
Losers, a lot of people don't like Losers. I actually really like that track a lot. I think that's probably one of my favorites off the album. But I think if I had to pick one as like my favorite, it is probably Angel.
I do love Angel. Losers as well is very underrated track, I feel.
Oh yeah, the
Yeah,
production on it's insane.
it's mad. It's the best of his features on that album, I'd argue.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I think that Labyrinth did an amazing job with the production and
He
with his
came in
vocals on that
and
track as well.
I really like the I think it's a Live Lounge Abel does with Labyrinth. Labyrinth comes on and they do that track together. And I think
Oh
it's the only
yeah. Yeah,
time, I think it's the only time you
haven't seen
actually
that
see
in a
them
minute.
together.
Sorry, you cut out there. What did you say there?
I was just saying, I think it's the only time you actually see Abel and Labyrinth together. I can't think of another time I've seen them together.
Yeah, I don't think they went on tour at all or anything. That would have been neat to see though, if they were both performing together on the Madness tour. But yeah, I think you're right. That might be the only time that they've like been in a video or like together that we've seen.
I'd definitely like them to collab again.
Oh, definitely. I was actually kind of hoping that we'd get some Labyrinth on the new project, but I don't think that that's really gonna happen.
And then let's talk about the worst feature on the album, which is
Oh.
Ed Sheeran.
Yeah, Dark Time, you know, I'm kind of indifferent on that track because I love Abel's part. I think that that's great, but Ed Sheeran, I don't know. I've never really been a big fan of Ed Sheeran, and I think that he could have been left out, or like even if Abel just sang his verse, I feel like the song would be a lot better. I don't think that he adds much to the
No,
song or the project as a whole, really.
I don't think it does either. It's you could have easily done that song just Abel, the whole thing, and it would have sounded better, I'd say.
Oh yeah. Definitely, definitely.
But that's enough about Beauty Behind the Madness. I believe that's turning 10 next year, is it?
Yeah, I think so. I'm hoping that we get some cool merch, maybe
Yeah,
another
that's gonna
re-release
be.
for the vinyl, who knows.
It's gonna be crazy that it's gone so fast as well,
Yeah,
but
definitely.
it's October as we're recording this. It might not be October when the viewers are watching, but we are well underway with the After Hours Till Dawn Australian tour. Night 2's just happened. What are your thoughts so far on the tour?
I think it's really cool that he's sort of been changing up like the whole vibe for everything. Like each leg that we've gotten of the tour, it's been something completely different. You know, he keeps it fresh for his fans and whatnot. I think that's great. But I feel like with this recent with these recent two shows, the fact that he's kept it so similar to the Sao Paulo show is, I don't know, I feel like it's a little disappointing. I would have expected just a little bit more for the tour, I think, rather than just sort of copy-pasting
I mean,
a lot of this stuff, you know?
he has included like his older songs into the Australian, like
Oh, yeah.
with the Can't Feel My Face, House of Balloons, Call Out My Name. We're getting all the old tracks as well. I was surprised that he's kept the stage the same. I can understand why, but at the same time, I thought he was gonna change it for the Australian, like.
Yeah, and that's sort of what I meant by like him sort of keeping it the same as the Sao Paulo show. You know, I feel like the set design is cool and all, But I don't know, that big building just right in the middle of the stage, I feel like it's, I don't know, it feels a little out of place, in my opinion. And I feel like him sort of keeping that for both the Sao Paulo show and for the tour, it just, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know how I
because
feel about that, really.
with the other legs of the tour, for the first one, we had the screen at the back behind the buildings. With the second one, we had the Soyorama statue in the middle. And then with the third one, the North American one, we had the statue and the screen. And now we've got the building and the screen, but no other buildings, if you know what I mean.
And that's sort of, I kind of noticed that during the Sao Paulo show. I thought he was going to keep the sort of that city build that he always had right in front of the screen, and I think it helped integrate, you know, that screen with the set, and now it feels kind of disjointed, if you sort of understand what I'm saying.
Do you think he's going to keep this stage design the same for when he comes back to America? Or do you think it's going to change again?
I think it'll probably change because I'm sure that he's sort of keeping it like this to make it sort of all fit within this new era that we've got with Hurry Up Tomorrow. I feel like once the project is like out and we've had time to sit with it and he comes back to the tour, I feel like it will be different just because we won't really be in that era anymore.
Yeah, I feel like this is the stage for the build up, like, if you know what I mean. So that, yeah, and then once the album's out and the new tour gets announced, if there is one, hopefully, then I imagine the stage will change once again.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
But in terms of the actual tour name, After Hours Till Dawn being the full name for the entire trilogy tour, what's your thoughts on that?
I mean, I think, I don't know. I've always really liked it. I feel like it's a great combination of, you know, both of his or his previous two albums, right? After Hours, Dawn FM, and I think it's a great callback to, you know, the outro on Trilogy, Till Dawn, and that's an amazing. That's an amazing track, right? I think that for the whole trilogy, though, it's interesting because you don't really, it doesn't really include Hurry Up Tomorrow there. But I also, I'm not sure how you would with the name that's been established, you know?
I'm trying to think how you. It's a good point that I'm trying to think how you would include Hurry Up Tomorrow. I mean, you could always just change it After Hours Till Tomorrow. But that don't sound
No,
as
I think that After Hours Till Dawn has a really like a good flow, and I feel like it's very memorable.
And in terms of Hurry Up Tomorrow, is there certain things you're expecting for this album that we've not heard already, or hidden features that you want in on it, track length wise, what are you expecting for that?
So I'm not really sure what to expect. I mean, I feel like we're sort of getting a sound established with, you know, the teasers that he posted, as well as, you know, the new singles Timeless and Dancing in the Flames. And while those two tracks are very different from each other, I feel like there are certain like cues production-wise that both tracks have. So I feel like we're starting to sort of hear what the sound is like. As for like track list, I'm hoping that we get something maybe a little longer than Dawn FM. I feel like with it being his last project, it should be a little more expansive, you know, because this is like the last, you know, the last hurrah is The Weeknd, right? And I think that yeah, it would be cool to hear more of this sound than we've heard with both After Hours and Dawn FM. And I don't know if you remember, but a while ago he was posting those teasers with Justice, the you know, the French electronic duo, and I was kind of hoping that we would get some of them on this project. I feel like Abel and Justice would be just an insane collab.
I feel like anytime Abel like collabs with them type of artists, like with Daft Punk, Gustav Holstein, Gvinsta, Justice, it's always a hit.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And that's actually somebody else that I would want him to work with on this project is Gustav Holstein, because I mean they absolutely killed it with Lost in the Fire and then their tracks on My Dear Melancholy. I mean,
I think
hearing them together again would be insane as well.
Personally, Lost in the Fire is better than the tracks on My Day Melancholy, in my opinion. There's just something about that track that just it's like a hype song, man.
Yeah, no, I definitely the production on that one is really good too, but I love sort of like the raw emotion that Abel carries with I Was Never There. You know, I feel like I don't know, they're all really good tracks, so I'm not really sure how I would rank them, but Lost in the Fire is definitely like it's very well produced. It has an amazing sound. It's very clean, very polished. It sounds great.
So do you reckon Justice will be like an official feature for Hurry Up Tomorrow, or do you think they'll just be like a producer, you know, like Swedish House Mafia, a few of those, the people are part of that, are credited as producers on Dawn FM, but not officially featured, if you know what I mean, unless you count in the
Yeah.
remix.
I think it'll probably be production. And I when I was when I first heard that leak for Wake Me Up, right, when that first came out, I noticed that the drums on Wake Me Up are similar to Justice's newer track, Generator, I think is what it's called. They have very similar sounding drums, so I think maybe they're probably on production for a couple tracks, which I think would be great. I mean, they're absolutely amazing producers. Their sound is very unique. I've taken a lot of inspiration from that as well. So to hear them on the new album, I think would be great.
Is there anyone else you really hope is on this new album?
Like feature wise or like production? Feature wise?
Either or.
I would love to hear another collab with Ariana Grande. I think that would be cool.
I
We haven't
think.
heard I feel like we haven't heard a lot from them since Ari's project. I think it was Positions, right? With Off the Table.
Well, we got the. Yeah, we got that. We got the Save Your Tears remix. We got the Die For You
That's true.
remix.
Die For You remix was all right.
It could. I really wished he'd gone with SZA for that remix. I think I've said it before,
Yeah.
I'll say it again. That remix would have been so much better.
Yeah, a polished version of that I think would have been a lot better than what we got. But I do think that they both did really well on the Save Your Tears remix. I do like that one a
I
lot.
love the Save Your Tears remix. I just feel like with the Die For You remix, they were just trying to do what they did with the Save Your Tears one, and it wasn't,
Yeah.
you know, it was okay. It could have been better.
I agree. Like I said, it's all right, you know. I remember when I first heard it, and I was kind of just sitting there like, it's all right, you know. Like it was mediocre, you know. I feel like they could have done a lot more. They're both very talented artists, and it kind of just seems like a cash grab, really.
I get what you mean. So we've got Hurry Up Tomorrow coming soon. We've got the Australian tour well underway. Will it be might be done by the time this episode comes out, and we've got hopefully another American, European, UK tour on the way next year. But once all that is said and done and been and gone, what do you think is next in terms of what we will see for Abel?
I feel like we're gonna get a lot more like television and movie stuff because that sort of seems the direction that we've been going with the idol and then a lot of what Abel's been teasing, especially with Manic Phase and that whole production there. So I think we're gonna get a lot more like visual media based stuff.
I
But I think
could.
I would love to hear maybe just some more experimental music from Abel and less like synth-based stuff, because I feel like we've gotten a lot of that, and I think that if he's sort of going to be rebranding from The Weeknd to, you know, his actual name, I feel like him going back to his roots and sort of, I
I
wouldn't
feel
say
like.
necessarily like his old sound, but definitely implementing a lot of his older stuff, but then with maybe some newer experimental styles, I feel like
Like
it would be
less
pretty neat
synth
to hear.
pop. I could see him becoming like with the Manic Phase stuff. I could even see him like not even featuring in all of the movies or TV shows that they do, but sometimes just, taking a back seat, directing, writing, maybe composing for them, not actually being in every single one.
Yeah, I think that would be neat to see. I think it'd be cool if he directed like a horror film or something, because
Or,
we know he loves his horror
yeah,
films.
that would be cool. Or even him starring in like a proper, like John Carpenter styled horror film. That would be
Oh
cool, I
yeah,
feel.
absolutely. I would kill to see that, man. Day
Yeah,
one, I'd be seated.
definitely. That would be cool. Or like, if he was in like an alien film with chest burster.
Oh. That would be great to see. I love sort of how he's always implementing horror elements into his albums. You can hear it in his music, especially on Kiss Land. I mean, that's just a horror movie in itself, really.
That it'd be interesting to see. But I'm afraid that's all the questions I've got for you today on today's episode. It's now time to hand it over to you and let the audience know, let the listeners know, the viewers know, what your top five songs by The Weeknd or any EXO member, Nav, Belle, what your top five are and why.
Hold on, I gotta pull up. I had a list of this. I was talking in
Whilst
a
doing that, I'm
group.
actually going to turn my light on because I don't know if people who's watching will be able to see me at this point.
All right. Definitely, I gotta find my top five real quick because I know I was talking about this the other day with a couple friends of mine. I can't find it, but I think top five, I'm gonna have to go with Sacrifice. I mean, that one's probably my first favorite. I just love the Michael Jackson vibes on that one. It's great. So first would be Sacrifice, I
Oh,
think.
are we saying the original version of Sacrifice or the Swedish House Mafia one?
Oh, the original.
Okay.
I like the Swedish House Mafia one, but I feel like the original just it does a lot more. It feels a lot more
Yeah.
expressive and creative than the remix.
Okay, that's number one. Number two.
And then number two, I think Faith. Faith is an amazing track. Just production is insane. I feel like we're really hearing Abel on that track. It's sort of his. I feel like at one of his darker points though, but he feels a lot more like expressive and like he's really singing from his heart there.
Okay.
Third track would probably be I'm stuck between like The Hills and Angel.
Only pick one. Or you could have them as three and four.
I'll probably put The Hills at three and Angel at four.
Okay.
And then five. I think 28 is a really good track. I
Do you
like
know
that one a
what?
lot.
So far this season, no one has said 28.
Really? That's an amazing track.
Unless I'm like completely forgot what everyone has said. I could have to go back and check actually, but yeah, that is a hot take. That is such a. I remember when everyone used to be so hyped about that song, and I feel like the hype's gone away and it needs to come back.
Which is really unfortunate, I mean, it's really well produced. Abel
Yeah.
sings really well on it. I feel like I say it's well produced on a lot of his tracks, but I mean that's usually how it is, They're always sounding really good. But yeah, and then like every time that he's performed it live, it just sounds amazing. And I feel
Yeah.
like I don't know, he should perform it again. If not on this tour, definitely like the next tour he should perform it. Hearing like a Mike Dean synth version of 28, that would be pretty neat.
I can't imagine him doing his older songs for this next tour, if I'm being honest. I know he's doing it for the Australian tour, but I feel like that's because he had to cancel it. But I feel like for the next tour, we're not going to get the older stuff.
You might be right, and that would be a little unfortunate because he's got a lot of just old, really good
I
tracks,
feel like it would be cool if he's just doing the new trilogy and then like every other show he'll do like just one or two of his old stuff here and there.
That could be interesting. I remember during the second leg when he was in Europe,
Yeah.
he kept performing, like he would throw in different tracks from mostly House of Balloons. So I remember we got like Coming Down and Party in the After Party.
Yeah, I got high for this in Montreal when I saw him.
Oh, that would have been great to hear.
Good songs. I was so happy.
Yeah, I can't even imagine just being there and then hearing "Hi for This" come on. I would have lost my shit, dude.
If I'm being honest though, when he did "Hi for This" at his Starboy tour, that sounded so much better than it did at the second leg of this one. But I was still grateful that he actually did it again.
I'll have to take a listen to the Starboy Tour version.
It
Who
just
knows? If I like it enough, maybe I'll do a remake of it
it
or something.
hits. I've got a video of it that I can send you from when I saw it. It just hits so different, and it's just oh.
Yeah, if you got it, man, definitely send it
Yeah.
over. Send it over. I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, for definitely I'll send it over. But that is it for today's episode of EXO Takeover. Once again, it has been a pleasure having you a part of the show. Before we finish off, is there anything you'd like to say to the people listening, people watching?
Well, first, I just want to say thank you for having me on. It's been, like you said, an absolute pleasure. Super grateful to be, part of this opportunity and to be part of this show. That it's definitely really awesome. Thank you so much. Say to the viewers, listen to Dawn FM cinematic version on my YouTube channel. We gotta get those numbers up, man. I think you'll all really like it. It's really good. Yeah, just excited for the new album. Can't wait to see what direction Abel takes, and that's about it.
Fair enough.
Thank you so much.
I'll probably put a link to your AfterFM YouTube channel in the description below, for those watching when this episode comes out. But thank you once again, and thank you for the appreciation. But that's it for this week's episode. Join us next Sunday with more special guests talking more things EXO.